I'm genuinely grateful for the honor and the opportunity to speak this morning as well. For anyone who hasn't met me in the room or online, my name is Caleb. I'm part of the team here. I'm in the privileged position that my parents are the pastors, Pastor Peter and Christine. And last week, I actually got to sort of speak. I was up here with Pastor Peter on stools while we were both speaking. But how many remember that one of us was doing a lot more speaking than the other? You know, I was doing a lot of smiling and nodding while he was speaking. But I knew my day was coming, and had actually a couple of people tell us afterwards. They said apparently we should take our comedy show on the road. They really enjoyed the banter that we had. That was a lot of fun. But today I don't have my comedy partner. I'm like Hamish without Andy, you know. It's like you just get the funny guy this week. The straight guy's not here. He's up in Queensland. But I want to say a shout out to Dad and Mum, our pastors. We honour you guys. You're probably not watching right now, but in case they are, why don't we put our hands together and say, hey guys, we love you and welcome you. I know you can't see on the camera, but everyone's here. We love to honour our leaders. As I said, they're my parents, but they're pastors and leaders at Breakthrough, and I love to honour them and the way they lead us. I want to also take a moment and honour all our leaders here at Breakthrough. We have obviously our pastoral leadership, but we have a bunch of leaders as well. We have people who are leading life groups, leading grow teams. We have developing leaders. You know, one of my roles at Breakthrough, which is you know, not something which is seen as much, is actually our leadership development pathway and looking after that. I believe passionately that having a healthy culture requires having healthy leaders. I think if we want healthy growth, a key part of that is developing into healthy leaders. And I also believe that if you want to prepare to go backwards, you should not develop your leaders. If you want to look after a culture that will stay the same size it is, you should develop your current leaders. But if you want to develop a culture to grow, which is what we want to do, because we're all about growing God's kingdom, you want to be developing more leaders than you have leadership positions at that time. And so we actually, as part of Team Breakthrough, we have a leadership development pathway. We have a group of leaders who are currently in place leading life groups or grow teams. We have our pastors who are part of that, leading the church. And we have a group of people who put their hand up to say, I want to be developing as a leader, even though I'm not actually in a leadership position yet, because that's helping us to grow towards growth. And then we're looking for opportunities to have new groups and new teams for them to lead. And I want to say thank you to all those leaders, because a lot of people who are leading and doing things at Breakthrough during the week that, you know, might not be as visible on a Sunday. But why don't you put your hands together for them? We appreciate you guys. We appreciate what you're doing and what that you're leading us into here at Breakthrough. I'm excited to speak. This morning as I was coming in, the team were recognizing that Pastor Peter was away. As I said last week, I had to speak with him. And thank you to everyone who shook my hand on the way out of church last week instead of his. I'll be out. If you don't know what that means, listen to last week's message. But I'll be there again at the door to shake your hand so you can have the pastor's blessing on the way out. It was a lot of fun. But as I was coming in this morning, the team were giving suggestions for what my title should be. Because someone said Pastor Caleb. And then what was Joe? You had. What was your suggestion? Holy Reverend. I like that. How many can get used to Holy Reverend Caleb coming to minister this morning? And then Josh was suggesting Reverend Mother. And I think, no, that's not what we want. Bishop, Archbishop, I don't know, Pope, I'll be soon. That's good. So turn to the person next. You can tell them what you're going to call me this morning. And then I'm going to get stuck into the message. I'm just going to adjust this so that it doesn't keep turning my display off so I can actually... I can actually read my notes throughout it, which would be great. Actually, could you do that for me, Jay? Sorry, it's going to time out every couple of minutes. Well, why don't we pray? I know we've prayed a few times today, but to start this message, this is something really that God's put on my heart, and I'd love you to join your faith with me for the Holy Spirit to bring it out, to partner with everything that He's got to say would be said. So, Holy Spirit, we give this time to you, Father, as our worship, as our giving, as every part of this service. This is holy to honor and glorify you today. I pray that every word that you have to come through today would, nothing less and also nothing more. May I be a vessel that you can just use completely for your honor and for your glory. And I pray that everything that's on your heart would be accomplished today. Every ear that needs to hear it would hear it. I pray for everyone who's listening, who's a part of this, that they wouldn't just be listening, but they would be hearing, that they would be attentive, that they would be in tune with your spirit and engaging with you and hearing you in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. How did that go, mate? Did that work? Just trying to. Oh, that's all right. You can do. Well, this message I've got in my heart for today, it flows on really beautifully from what Pastor Peter shared last week. Put your hand up if you were here last week and heard his message as he was speaking about. It was in the context of starting a new semester of life groups, but he spoke about the concept from the book of Job about connecting together. Thank you so much, mate. He spoke about connecting and coming together, and in that coming together is often where life and healing can flow. Remember that? How he said how often we have a tendency as people that we want to get everything sorted and fixed in our own lives, and then we'll step out and connect, and then we'll go and do that. But from the book of Job, he saw that it was actually in a bunch of broken people coming and connecting, the life of God was able to flow through, and that's where the healing came, was in that connection, was in community. And so the message I'm going to give today, it really flows on beautifully from that, but I want to quickly tell you where it came from, because it was not in any way intended. It wasn't because I said, oh, this is what Dad spoke on last week, this is what I want to say as a follow-up. It wasn't any strategy that's come through it. Is entirely God. It's not me. But actually, this is a message that God put in my heart right back at the start of January in this year. I don't know if anyone would remember, but the very first week we had church here in of this year, first week of January, Sunday service, we had a really special worship time. And God spoke to us and he said, in this worship, he wants to speak to us and give us words that are going to be significant for people here. And so we actually had a time of just ministering and just free worship and listening to what the Holy Spirit said. And in that moment, God spoke a word very specifically to my heart. It wasn't a word for us corporately. It was for me, you know, for our family. And it was something God said, this is what I'm saying for you this year. It was a scripture from the book of Zechariah. So I went and wrote it down, and then I went and spent months. I spent about 6 months studying out the books of Zechariah and Haggai and other books around that time to really grab hold of that word. But all that to say, right at the start of January when God spoke that to me, I went and I was reading Zechariah and Haggai. Zechariah and Haggai were prophesying buddies. We'll talk about this story a bit in a minute. They're two separate books, but they prophesied together at the same time to the same people. It's almost like two parts of the same book. And was reading in Haggai chapter 1, a passage. Honestly, it didn't really jump out to me that much. It wasn't like God's like, this is your answer, this is for you. I was just reading it. But as I was, God spoke to me so clearly and said, next time you preach a breakthrough, this is your message, this passage. And I was like, ah, hey, if it wasn't for that, I would have just read on to the next chapter. I wasn't even highlighting it. It wasn't like it stood out to me, but I just knew God said, next time you preach, this is your message. And so I kept that in the back of my mind and you know, prayed and studied through it a bit. And then the opportunity came a couple of weeks ago that this was the first time I've preached this year. So I was like, all right, God, this is what you've said is in my heart, so I'm going to do that. So that was what I was working towards. Last Sunday, I didn't know what Dad was going to talk about until we were having breakfast on Sunday morning. We actually had another plan for what we were going to talk about together, and he's like, I've been up praying, and I feel that God's shown me this from Job, and I want to speak to this concept of coming together in community. Don't get your life fixed up and then come and connect. It's in that connecting, in broken people coming together, that there's life, and that's why we do life groups and that sort of thing. And as he was saying, it's like, oh, wow, it's like you're getting part one of what God's put on my heart to bring part two next week. So I wanted to quickly share that because I hope that can give confidence and even highlight this is something I really feel God is saying to our church body at this time. This was not something that we have planned. This is something that's come from him and which he has planned. So that's where that's come from today. So turn to the person next to you and say, God must want to say something to you today. God must be really serious about getting through to you. I mean, look at them. Maybe you say, maybe they look a little bit hard-headed. Maybe that's why God's got to try extra hard to get through to them today. So if you could maybe put up the title of my sermon, Josh, the title of the sermon is To You and Through You. And that's what we're going to talk about today. To you and through you. And we're going to read this passage in Haggai chapter 1, which God put in my heart as for this message today. But in order to do that, I want to do this as an illustration because I feel like that's a lot of fun. I don't get to preach all that often, so when I do, I may as well get some extra people on the stage and make a fool of you along the way. No, I wouldn't make a fool of anyone. Why am I looking this way? He says, So I need some people to come on the stage. I'm thinking maybe three or four people to be the Jews, all right? Who feels particularly Jewish today? Chris was pointing at Chris. Does Chris look particularly Jewish to you, Bree? Yeah, who feels Chris is looking quite Jewish today? Oh, Bree put her hand up. She wants to come up too. Why don't you both come up? Welcome our first Jewish couple. Congratulations. These are our Jewish newlyweds, Chris and Bree. Good on you guys. And I feel like there's another young Jewish couple on this side that might want to come and join. Why don't you put your hands together for Cam and Caitlin? Yeah. All right, this is unrelated. I'll get into the proper message in a minute. But speaking of Jews, quite a few weeks ago, we were watching the footy with some of the family and some friends, and I can't remember exactly who was there. And many people know I'm a passionate Collingwood fan. And Collingwood had a young guy who was playing his first game, and he had his first shot at goal, and he missed. He kicked it to the right. So the other team kicked out. The ball straight away came back in. He got it again, had another shot at goal, and he missed. He kicked it to the left. And so I turn to the others and I'm saying, well, he's due now because he's kicked one right, one left, so he's due to get it through the middle. Sandy was there. I think he's in Super Kids, just not even here to hear her own story. And she said, oh, is he? That's great. And I'm like, okay, that's a funny response, but I didn't say anything. Then later on in the game, she goes, how's that Jewish boy doing? I said, what Jewish boy? She's the Jewish player for Collingwood, the young guy. I'm like, what Jewish player? I don't know any Jewish player. Said, you know, you said before, he's a Jew. I said, no, he's due to kick a goal. So for now, forevermore, Reef McInnes, if you ever watch this, to our family, you are the Jew. That will be your nickname in our family from this point on. But anyway, these are the Jews. Put your hands together for them again. And because we need them up here because this passage in Haggai chapter 1 was the prophet Haggai prophesying specifically to the Jews. Now, in order to understand this passage, we want to quickly look at the backstory so we can understand the context of where we are, what's happening with these Jewish people so that we can understand the prophecy. That would make sense, wouldn't it? So we can understand it in a bit more context. So Josh, if you'd be able to put up the timeline for me there very quickly. We've got a little timeline of events so that you can see where we are. So we've got 538 BC. That's before anyone in this room was born. Not even Graham and Judith were around in 538 BC. Is that right? We had the exiles return. So before this, the Jewish people had been in exile for about 70 years. The whole backstory to that, but they had previously been in their promised land, they had continually sinned, continually turned against God. Eventually he said, you know what? I have to send you into exile. That's what's going to happen. That's our covenant. Actually, it's amazing. You can read through the scripture that Jordan was talking about in Jeremiah chapter 29. God was actually speaking to them when he was sending them to exile. He's saying, you know what? You've mucked this up monumentally. You're going into exile. But even there, I still have good plans for you. Even though you've botched this so significantly, I still have plans to give you a hope and a future. That's actually where he's speaking that then. So that's a long time before that. 538 BC, the exiles actually returned. So let's quickly read a scripture just so we can see what's happening here. Josh, could you put the first passage in Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 to 6? You don't have to turn these in your Bible. This is just to give the concept, lay the foundation. So we've got our Jews in exile. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, who we're just talking about, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation through all his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying that whoever there is among you of all the people, may his God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. Every survivor at whatever place he may live, let the men of that place support him with silver and gold and goods and cattle, together with a freewill offering for the house of the Lord. For the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. We won't read the rest of it. But basically he says to them, all right, guys, it's time. I'm sending you out of exile back home to build the temple. They all say, hurrah, we're going back home to build the temple. So you can see 538 BC, they commence rebuilding. So come on, guys, get cracking. We're rebuilding the temple. Let's... I have great faith in you guys. So they're away, building away. Good work. You can just hammer, do whatever you want to do there, building. So they build the temple. They spend about a year building the temple. And in five... That Jewish couple's not doing...
Yeah, they know how to do it. 537 BC, they lay the foundations of the temple. So it's a big, significant moment. We've laid the foundations. Yay! Celebrate. The foundations are laid and everything's going well. But let's jump ahead to Ezra chapter 4, verse 24, and we'll read through to Ezra 5:1. If you want to put that up on the screen for us, Josh, and see what happens after they've been building for about a year, they've laid the foundations, everything's going well. But then the work on the house of God in Jerusalem ceased, and it was stopped until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. We'll pause there for a sec. What had happened here is they had encountered some opposition from people around. They didn't want the temple to be rebuilt. They were afraid of what it meant. They knew underneath, they knew that this is a powerful God, and if this temple was rebuilt, they were getting nervous about that, and so they were opposing them. And so these guys, eventually their enthusiasm sort of waned and they didn't quite get it done and they stopped working. Do you know? And they said, you know what? They never said, oh, we won't build the temple anymore. We're against building the temple. But it got a little bit hard. It got a little bit too tricky. It got a bit inconvenient. So you know what they said? We'll just leave that for a bit and we're going to go back and look after our own home. So you guys, why don't you go over there? You're going to look after your home. You guys go over there. You're looking after your home. And they're dealing with that. And we'll go the next verse here, Josh. But then the prophet Haggai, when the prophets, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, if anyone's having a baby anytime soon, Iddo is a name you can consider, just for your reference. They prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. So this is the context. If you want to maybe go back to that timeline for us, Josh, the Israelites, the Jews have come back. They've laid the foundations of the temple. They've started what they're doing, but they have ceased working here, 537 BC, roughly. You know, it's around about then. This is about 17 years later. So their short pause in the work has turned into 17 years of being out looking after their own homes, doing their own things. How many know that this has become a fairly significant pause in what God has called them to do? Now, like we said, it's important to recognize that they are not, they never said, we don't want to build the temple. These are not people who have said, we don't want a temple. We're against the temple being built. These are the Jews. This is their homeland. They are all for the temple being built. But what happened is it got tricky. It got inconvenient. They've gone back to their own homes for a little bit. And suddenly a little bit has become 17 years. And they're still off looking after their own homes. And the temple's still here just with its foundations. All right, so this is the context for when Haggai steps in and gives this passage, which we're going to read. So this is the central part of it today, but we wanted to lay that foundation. So this is who Haggai is speaking to today. So let's actually go to that passage in Haggai chapter 1. I'll get Josh, if you could put it on the screens for us, that would be awesome. And I'll bring it up here to read. If you want to turn to it, you're welcome to, and we can read this together because this is the key passage that we're going to read today and that this is based out of. So Haggai chapter 1 and verse 1. I'll take a sip of water so I can get through it. It says, in the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, something like that, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. So many names here. We need to have more kids so we can give them all these wonderful names. The high priest saying, thus says the Lord of hosts. Have a look at this significant thing here. We're going to go through this piece by piece. This people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. All right, we'll pause there for a sec. So these people are not saying, we won't build the temple. We won't invest in the Lord's house. We won't pour into what God's doing. Let's look at this. Obviously, we've got building the temple is a very specific task God's given them to do. But let's look at this as God's kingdom work. You know, God has given them kingdom work. They are a body of God's people. And God has given them a kingdom work to say, together, you are to come together and to build my temple. That's your role as the body in this time. And they've said, it's not the right time for us to do that yet. It's not the right time yet for us to do that because, and as we'll see, we'll see these in the following verses, but I'm going to jump ahead a bit and give you their perspective. They're saying, there was challenges and oppositions there. It's not yet time for us to do that because we've actually got a bunch of challenges and really important things that we're working through ourselves. You know, this Jewish couple said, our crops aren't going particularly well. We need to just get our crops sorted and then the time will come for us to go and build the temple. And this Jewish couple said, you know what, we're building our house, but we're having issues with our house and it's constantly costing more than we need, more than we have. So we're doing extra work to make up that. So we don't have time to invest in building your temple right now, God. The time will come, but it hasn't come yet. Bit of Jewish rivalry going on the stage here. So they're saying right now, it's not yet time for us to do this because we're focusing on our own lives. Now, what's the problem with their argument? When was the time that God said, is it time to build the temple? 17 years ago. That time has well and truly come. This was not a task that God says, oh, when it's convenient for you guys, do this. Hey, when it fits into your schedule, do this. Yeah, look, when you get your new house sorted, that's fine. And when you get your crops sorted, come to it. God said, this is kingdom work. This is what I've called you to do as my body. Now's the time to do it. So let's keep on reading. So that's what they said. So the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? He's saying, hey, that's really interesting. You're saying it's not yet time to work on my house, but you got lots of time and energy to work on your own house. Look at these nice panels on your house. Look at all the panels you're putting on your house. And my house is foundations. Again, they're not saying, oh God, we're against your house. We don't want to build that. But they're saying, oh, we need to fix our own challenges and what's working through here. Now, let's have a read now at what God says. So these are just continuing the next verses at what God says to them about the challenges they've had. Remember, we said that these guys are not against building the temple, but they said they've got too many challenges and issues in their own life to think about it right now. So verse 5, he says, now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Turn to the person next to you and say, consider your ways, which is sort of a passive-aggressive way of saying you're in the wrong. You have sown much, but you harvest little. So that's you guys. You're sowing and you're pouring into your fields and your crops, but your harvest just isn't working. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. Well, there's a big problem, isn't it? You put on clothing, but no one's warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Some of the translations literally put this, your holes have pockets in them. How many can relate to that feeling? It's like your holes have pockets in them sometimes, where it's like I'm working and trying, and over here these guys are trying to do everything they can to earn more, but it's like when you put it in your purse, it's like it just falls out. It's like it's not staying. You guys are like sowing more and sowing and laboring over the field and doing all this work, but then the crop's just not working. Can anyone ever relate to that feeling? I can. We have times where it's like I'm striving and trying and doing that. Going to keep reading here, but God is saying to them, do you know why you're feeling that way? And I'm sorry, we're not saying can anyone relate. I wasn't saying that it's God's judgment on you. I don't mean that. I mean, sometimes that's... Thank you, Siri. My watch is unable to perform that task, unfortunately. Yeah, some Jewish trash talking going on here. I don't know that. But God says to them, do you know why you're striving over your crops and they're not working and you're striving trying to earn money and build your house that's not working? He said, because my blessing is here. My blessing is on when you come and do the work that I've called you to do. I've called you as a body to come and to build my house and do kingdom work. And he said, but you're saying I need to fix up my own life first and then I can go and do the kingdom work. He says, when you do that, you will constantly find holes in your pocket, crops failing, you'll never have enough, because he says, my blessing is on your life comes when you go after my kingdom work and do that. Does that make sense? Let's read it. Let's read what God what God actually says to them very specifically here, because he's very he's very direct in them. He doesn't pull his punches. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Turn to the person next to you and say, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and I may be glorified. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. That is such a significant phrase. He says, my house lies desolate, but you keep running to your own house to fix up your own house. We've got to fix this. We've got to look after this. I've got to just look after my life. And he's like, when I get my life in order, when I get it sorted, God, then I'll do your kingdom work. When we get our finances in order, then we'll do your kingdom work. When we've got our crops working, then we'll do your kingdom work. But he says, it's never going to happen. It's never going to work that way. Because my house lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Read the next couple of verses. Therefore, because of you, and look at how interesting this is. Because of you, because of what you've done, the sky has withheld its dew and the earth has withheld its produce. God actually doesn't say specifically, I withheld it. He said, my blessing causes it to open. But because of what you've done, my blessing can't work. And now the sky and the ground are working against you. He said that the earth system is actually working in opposition to you because you won't come in and seek my kingdom first. You're trying to look after your own kingdoms instead. He says, I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on cattle, and on all the labor of your hands. Like I said, God does not pull any punches there. He says the reason that your own personal lives are not working, the reason you guys have got holes in your pockets, the reason your crops are failing is because the blessing on your life is here. It's when you come in and seek God's kingdom and what he's doing and what I've called you to do. And then that's where that is. I'm gonna jump ahead. There's a few other prophecies in the meantime, but let's go to Haggai chapter 2, verse 18 to 19. I'm just jumping into the next the next chapter. It says, do consider from this day onwards. So this is where God has said, from this day, it's time for you to start building the temple. And they say, we're going to do it. We're going to build the temple. So from this day onward, when you say, yes, we're coming back to build it, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day when the temple of the Lord was founded, consider. Consider. There we go. Verse 19. Is the seed still in the barn, even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree, yet from this day on, I will bless you. He says, mark this day in your calendar. This is the day that they came back and they said, we're going to come back and we're going to focus on building your temple. He says, mark this day in your diaries, because from this day on, everything else in your personal life is going to be blessed. My blessing will be on your produce. My blessing will be on your crops. My blessing will be on everything. Because he said, your issue before was that you're seeking that first and not this. So, guys, it's not working for you. What are you going to do? Come on, let's come back in. Why? Oh, put your hands together. Look, our Jews are coming back to build the temple. This is exciting. All right. Thank you, Jews. Why don't you put your hands together? You guys can have a seat. It was just nice to have you on stage and to have some examples there. It's a beautiful temple you built too, isn't it? Lovely. Mm. Yeah, Graham likes that, I reckon. It's good work. It's the craftsmanship, you know. let's just stop for a minute and make this like relatable to our lives, because it's easy to look back at, you know, the Jews 2,500 years ago at how they should have behaved. Say, oh, obviously you guys should have just—it's easy, just leave your home and focus on God's house. How many can relate to the feelings that these Jews would have been feeling at that time? And I'm not saying if you felt that way, it's because of God's judgment. You know, we're living in a broken world. I'm not saying that. But how many can relate to the feeling like these guys, if it's like, I'm just trying and trying and trying, but it doesn't matter how much I try, it's like, it's just not working. I just can't get some clear air. How many have ever felt you know, that sense. I'm just trying to get some clear air. I just want some clean air so I can just live life and do that. Or like these guys, I think that image of holes in your pockets where it's like, oh, I'm trying so hard and working as much as I can, and then the car breaks down, and then this happens, and they increase my rent, and then petrol prices go from $1.20 to $1.80 to $2.40 to $4.90 to God knows what, and you know, suddenly it costs $6 to get a thing of strawberries, and you know, I suspect a lot of people can relate to this in this season right now, and so like it's easy for us to look back at them in Haggai's time and say, oh, you unbelieving generation, just go and build the temple. God told you to build the temple, just build the temple. It's not that difficult. But it's a human nature response to say, you know, before I can focus on giving out over here, I just need to get myself fixed. I just need to get some stuff sorted and then I can go fix. There were people, there have been people through history who stiff arm this and say, I would not build the temple. I don't want to do that. I'm selfish. I'm building an empire for myself. That's a whole different issue in itself. And, you know, if you feel that way, you got issues. That's not good. Let's deal with that. Talk to Judith afterwards. She'll set you free. Actually, wait till Pastor Peter's back next week. Then talk to him. He'll sort you out of that. If that's how you feel, you've got some stuff to sort out before we finish this message. But these are not people who are stiff-arming God's work. These are people who are not standing with their arms crossed saying, I don't want to be part of what God's building in his kingdom. But it's people who are with natural human nature are saying, I need to look after my home. I need to get things fixed up. I need to get ourselves sorted. I just need to get some clear air, get some space, get this fixed up, and then I can focus on giving out and what God's doing in his kingdom. You know, last week, and this is why this ties so beautifully into what Dad spoke last week, he talked about the story of Job. And he was talking about the concept of life groups. How so often we would do this exact thing in that context. We would say, oh, I can't go and pour out to others because I am broken. I need to get my life fixed up. I need to get myself fixed up. I need to get my attitudes for my emotions. I just need a season to get myself sorted out. Then I can come into a community and I can pray for others and bless others and put on a smile and say, when they say, how are you doing this week? You know, what's God work? Oh, praise the Lord. God's good. He's working good things in my life. I just need to get myself sorted so then I can really connect in community when I'm healthy and good. Does that make sense? That's human nature. That's not evil. That's not wrong. If you felt that before, it means that you have the grand, exciting thing of being called a human like the rest of us. But actually, God's pattern, the way that God works, and Dad spoke this so beautifully in the book of Job, is from Job's brokenness, from their brokenness, coming and actually saying, you know what? I don't have everything sorted out here. My life is not in order. My life is not looking great, but I'm going to come and pour in and connect deeply into the body and community, and I'm going to pray for others, and I'm going to join their journey. I'm going to connect with what God's working in their life. And the amazing thing there is that God can then use that to pour it through me to others, and through that connection, that's the way that God can bring life into us. That through that connection, God can actually bring life. As Dad spoke last week, it was actually in Job coming and connecting and praying for his friends that God brought healing and restoration into his life. It's amazing how in this example, the healing actually comes through the connection. It's not get healed, get sorted, get fixed, and then connect. It's connect deeply, and then the healing actually comes through the body. You think about that concept of how God calls us his body, and that's actually the way he's designed it to work. He says, there is healing and provision for you. You know, you're over here saying, nothing's working, I'm broken, I need help. And God says, I've got healing and provision to pour to you, but the pathway that I've prepared for that is through the body. It's through community. It's actually as you come and connect with others here that can flow through. You think about how the human body works. You don't have a bunch of different body parts, each with an individual connection to a central head. You know, we're not like this weird octopus type being with a head and then individual body parts coming off it. There's interconnection. Everything's connected together. Life flows through each part to each other. Now, the head, which is Jesus in our body, is the source of that life. You know, in any of this, if we ever, ever lose that connection with Jesus, if we ever think that we in our own strength have some sort of life that we could pour to each other, then we're totally broken. Again, if that's what you think, save that for next week. Pastor Peter will fix all your issues. Don't worry about that. But these are examples. We look at Job last week. We look at the Jewish people this week when they separated and said, I'm trying to fix myself. I'm trying to do this. And God said, there is a provision and a life to flow to you. There is a healing. There is exactly what you need. My pathway for that is to come in your brokenness, in your current state, and connect deeply into the body and connect into what I'm doing and the kingdom work that I'm doing and I've called you to do together. And then what we see is that God's life in this space can flow to you and it can flow through you to others. You know, when you don't do this process, when you stay separated, when you stay isolated and try and fix it yourself, there are two people who miss out on God's life flowing. One is you, and the second one is everybody else. Because God wants his life to flow to you from others and through you to them, because they're broken just like you are, and they need the supply and the life that you bring, just like you need the supply and the life that they bring. And that's why, actually, as I was working through the sermon, I just thought, I'm going to flip this, and I want to put this the other way. And I've actually got the slide there if you want to put it up. We're going to say this sermon is actually called Through You and To You, because I believe that as you make your focus saying, God, how can I give and pour into your kingdom? How can I be over here and say, I want to pour into what you're doing. I want to pour into others around me. Like we talk about like Dad's example last week, I'm going to pour into a life group and say, how can I pray for you? How can I believe God for what you're believing for? How can I bless you? How can I love you? What are you going through? How can I pray for that every day like it's my own challenge? How can I pray for you every day and seek the face of God for you as if you're my own flesh and blood? And as it pours through you, suddenly you find it's pouring to you. But when you stay over here and try and do everything you can just to get it to you, God says it doesn't work because the provision and the life is over here. It's interesting. We won't read it for the sake of time, but Abraham's story, phenomenal man of faith, the father of faith, and God gave him a promise that he would be the father of multitude and that he would through a son named Isaac. Abraham believed God for years and decades and nothing happened. Do you know what the very last thing that's recorded in the Bible before the verse where Sarah conceived, the very last thing that's recorded is that Abraham prayed to release Abimelech and his family from infertility. They couldn't have kids and Abraham came and he prayed and he beseeched God for them to be able to have children and God opened their womb. The very next verse we read is that Sarah conceived and gave birth to Isaac. I feel that's no coincidence that the very last thing Abraham did before that life flowed to him and to Sarah was that he had it pour through him. Exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing to others. And mate, Jay, would you maybe come up and start playing? I had some other stuff we want to talk about, but I feel there's some life in that. The very last thing before Abraham saw that break free was that he had that life pour through him to others. Jesus preached this same thing. We could go through multiple passages where Jesus preached the same concept, but there's a famous verse in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." He said throughout Matthew 6, he said, "Don't be like the Gentiles who eagerly seek these things." Now that means don't be like the Gentiles who are over here saying, oh, we just need to get ourselves sorted. We just need to fix our own lives and get this sorted. He said, come here, see what can flow through you into my kingdom. See what can flow through you into others and to those around you. And then in that, see what can flow to you. See what can flow to you. I feel we're gonna leave it there, actually. We're going to have some prayer. Would you stand with me, maybe? We're going to pray for this today. That we would be a people that God's life flows through us and then to us. You know, as for where you are, why not? Could you just take a moment and just respond to God and say, Father, I want to be a person that your life flows through me and to me. God, I want to be a person that your life flows through me. I am sorry. If you need to, you repent. Say, God, I'm sorry. I've been over here trying to get my life sorted, trying to get my ducks in a row, trying to get everything fixed up in my life before I could give or pour out to others. But God, I'm committing today. I want to get right in the middle of your kingdom work. I want to get right in the middle of what you're saying, right in the middle of what you're doing. I want to connect in deeply to the body. Father, I want to connect in deeply to the body for your life to flow through me, to flow through me. And then in that, I'll find it flows to me in ways greater than I can imagine. Actually, I'm just going to give you a moment. Jay, while you keep playing that, why don't you just take a moment and you just respond to God. Let that be your prayer. Let that be the prayer of your heart. God, I want your life to flow through me and to me. Just take a moment. Just respond to God in your heart.